Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
But really? Is that really true? Are you serious? Well, God is. And if he's serious about that, he's serious about the truth that comes along with the risen Christ that we will celebrate today. It's the one that Christ immediately proclaimed to his disciples, even those who doubted him. We have peace with God, and we'll celebrate that today. You can follow along in our worship service. It's all printed for you here in the worship bulletin. Online, you can find that on our Staying Connected to God's Word page, also under our video live page. There's a link to the worship folder there. We begin our worship today with a perfect hymn, Praise to the Lord Almighty. Amen. God's blessings on your worship. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him, and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Amen.
We sing.
Thank you.
risen Lord, you came to your disciples and took away their fears with your word of peace. Come to us also by your word and sacrament, and banish our fears with the comforting assurance of your abiding presence. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 26, where we see Paul have full confidence in the fact that Jesus was risen, and take a look at the results. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." The word of the Lord. Join together in the psalm of the day, a perfect psalm for Easter season, Psalm 16.
Thank you.
The second lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great resurrection chapter in the Bible. If it is not true that Christ has been risen, well, imagine the peace that we would not have, but since he is, look at what it means for us someday. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. The word of the Lord. Now please stand in honor of the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson that drives our whole service today comes from John chapter 20. Notice that Jesus gives them a message of peace, also the proof and the tools to give it. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
We now confess our faith publicly together in our risen Savior according to the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, O sons and daughters of the King. Thank you.
Grace and peace are yours, brothers and sisters. Thanks to God and our risen Savior. Amen. The sermon text comes from the first lesson in Acts chapter 26, if you'd like to follow along there. Let us pray. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your peace. Amen. The sky is pink. The sun is green. The grass is purple. 2 + 2 = 37. Pigs have wings and can fly. And cows go meow. Now, if I said these things and truly believed them, you'd think I was crazy. And rightfully so. So you can understand then why non-Christians can look at us in the same way. When we say that a man died and he rose back to life, never to die again. That just doesn't happen. By observation throughout the whole history of the world, it just does not happen. And so in a way, you can understand why they would view us as being crazy. What you can't understand is when we agree with them. We have moments when we slip back into the darkness of doubt and of denying the resurrection of Jesus. And when we do that, that has great implications on how we live our life. So Paul today stands up tall and proud and confident before not just Governor Festus, not just King Agrippa, but also to you and me. He shows us why we can have confidence in our risen Savior, and he shows what that can bring. Have I gone mad? No. My Savior has risen. Now, how could Paul know? How could he know that he wasn't crazy? There's actually two different things he brings up as he stands there and testifies about the gospel. But a little context first, because it's really important for what Paul's going through and what he says. Paul had gone through, remember, 3 mission journeys, and he was headed toward Jerusalem where he knew he was going to get arrested, and he knew the Jews wanted to kill him. Before they could, he made sure that everybody knew that he was a Roman citizen because he was from Tarsus, and so he was taken for his protection to a different province to be tried. Governor Felix there had him in prison for 2 years because he didn't know what to do with him. Plus, he wanted a little money from Paul. Eventually, a new governor came to power, still didn't know what to do with him, so he's going to send him back to Jerusalem when Paul said, no, I appeal to Caesar. And so now this governor, Festus, is sitting there getting ready to ship Paul off when King Agrippa comes to say hi to the new governor and tells him everything that's going on. And Agrippa is intrigued, and he wants to hear what Paul has to talk about. And so here Paul stands in Acts chapter 26 before King Agrippa, King Agrippa's wife, this pagan governor, Governor Festus, and a whole crowd of people. And he tells them everything that's happened to him so far. He tells them about how he was a persecutor of the church beforehand, how Jesus appeared to him in a heavenly vision on the road to Damascus, and how Jesus gave him the command to go preach the light of the gospel to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, just like you and me. And then Paul says this: "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike." Look at where Paul's confidence in the resurrection had taken him. He was a great persecutor of the church, and now he was being persecuted as part of the church. He had tried to stamp out the message, make sure it didn't spread, and now he was spreading it, telling everybody, small and great alike. He was standing there being in chains, so to speak, in front of kings and governors giving testimony. Had Paul gone mad? Look at what he was going through. And look at what he was saying about some man who had risen from the dead. How could Paul be so confident in that fact? Well, he says it next. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. That the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Paul was not crazy. Paul simply knew that the word had been fulfilled. And think about everything that was said in that word, that Old Testament. That's what prophets and Moses is. You and I know that as the Old Testament. And if everything that God said in that Old Testament about a Messiah who would come and die and then rise to life really did happen, that is way more out there than saying the sky is pink or 2 plus 2 equals 37. And yet, all of that happened just as God prophesied. And if that was true, well then, what's your response to that? If the word really talks about a man rising from the dead and it happens, then what do? You follow that word. You obey it. And that's exactly what Paul did, and that's what he says. The very first thing he says, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. The risen Jesus had appeared to him and had given him a command to go preach to the Gentiles, and so he did. He obeyed. And what did he preach as he went? He preached exactly what was in the word. Repent of your sins, turn to God, demonstrate your repentance by your good deeds. It's not exactly an easy message to preach in a sin-filled world, and yet Paul preached it. Why? Because Jesus was indeed risen, just as it was prophesied. And if Christ, the risen Savior, tells him to do something, well, then Paul's going to obey the word of Christ. You and I know that same truth. So why can we be so disobedient? And don't try to say your sinful nature. We say that too much. We almost say, yeah, I disobey God's word because I'm human. I'm a sinner. As if we use it as an excuse to make ourselves feel better. We know what the word says. It says, this is a sin, and this is a sin, and this is a sin, and turn from your sins, turn to God. We have commands just like Paul did, and yet we disobey them and do so willingly. Why? It's because in that moment, we doubt the word. What else could it be? We doubt its commands, we doubt its threats. We doubt its truth. In a way, we see it just like the world sees it. We see it as crazy. Think about it from the world's perspective, and sadly we do too much. So many things that the word says is wrong, the world sees as good and beneficial. For example, you focus on your career, and you do that so that you can advance and get promotions and get higher paychecks and have a more comfortable life. That's why the world values that. Sex before marriage and outside of marriage brings with it bodily pleasure. And living together before marriage can be financially easier for the couple and with less commitment. That's why the world values those things. The world says that if somebody does something wrong, then you can put them in their place. And you can show them what's right. That's just you sticking up for justice, and tearing them down is okay. Plus, it makes you feel better. That's why the world values those things. But you and I know what the word says about those things. They are not good. They are deeds of darkness. Those are sins. And we know what the word says about those who commit such things. They deserve eternal suffering. And yet we can still look at the word just like the world does. Doubt its truth, its veracity, its threats. See it as if it's crazy. which would be true if it wasn't for that one man that rose from the dead. Just as God prophesied, Christ came and rose from the dead. And if that's true, then what God says about that death and the purpose and the results of it is also true. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. If he rose as prophesied, that means he suffered as prophesied. And if that's true, that means he suffered for me as promised. That means that I have peace with God. I'm forgiven. Have I gone mad? Why would God forgive me for being so disobedient? Why would God give me peace and give me the light of this beautiful message when I have willingly tasted the darkness? That kind of grace is crazy. Have I gone mad? No. My Savior has risen. He proves it all. He proves all of those promises side by side along with those prophecies are all true. Now what the world is going to do is still take that word and treat it like it's not true, like it didn't happen then. The world is going to treat it and treat you as if you believe in fairy tales. They're going to say it's fantasy and myth and made up. But there's one problem with that argument. The resurrection of Jesus wasn't just prophesied. It was witnessed. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner." Now, there's a reason that Paul leans on the king here, which is pretty interesting, actually, because of who this king was. This is King Agrippa, but it's King Herod Agrippa II. You recognize that name, Herod? Herod the Great was this guy's great-granddad. Herod the Great was the one who slaughtered babies around the time of Jesus' birth. This guy's great uncle was Herod Antipas, the one who beheaded John the Baptist and tried Jesus during Holy Week. The family lineage didn't bode well for Paul here, but Paul leans on the king for two reasons. He knows two things about King Agrippa. The first is that King Agrippa had control over the temple in Jerusalem. He also had control over some regions of Galilee where Jesus did much of his ministry. So there was no way that King Agrippa had not heard of Jesus of Nazareth and everything that had happened. He heard of the preaching and the miracles. He heard of the arrest and the crucifixion in Jerusalem. He heard about the reports of the resurrection, maybe even heard from the guards themselves at the temple or at the tomb. He heard about Pentecost for sure. He heard about the message spreading as it was, which is why he was all intrigued and wanted to meet Paul. It happened. There were witnesses. And so Paul, trying to tell them he's not insane, not just points to the fulfilled scriptures, he points to the fact that it was witnessed. Now, you and I don't understand the effect of that as much 2,000 years later. We weren't there after that first Easter in and around Jerusalem. But even back then, news travels fast. It happened. And those eyewitness reports have been passed down to you and me. And even though we have not seen, we have believed. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And Paul knew it. So not only did Paul trust the fulfilled scriptures, he also trusted the eyewitness accounts, of which he really was an eyewitness. And that's what he leans on as now he leans on the second thing he knew about King Agrippa. Now, as he was controlling the temple, That means he also had to be in good relationship with the Jews, which means he publicly professed to believing in the Old Testament scriptures. And Paul knew this. And so Paul, with all the guts and the gumption there, standing before a king and a governor, puts the king on the spot. He says to him, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Now he puts him on the spot because King Agrippa, if he denies it, well, now he alienates all of those Jews that he's in charge of. If he affirms it, well, now he says he's a Christian. That's a difficult position to be in. King Agrippa is sly, though. He comes up with this clever response. Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Notice he didn't affirm it and he didn't deny it. But Paul's response to that is even better. Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. He had gone from highly respected persecutor of the church to now being arrested in prison, facing death, defending himself before kings and governors. And yet Paul has the confidence to stand there and say this to this king. Had Paul gone mad? No. No, he knew. Everything happened just as it was witnessed. And he had confidence in that fact. And that confidence can be our confidence too. We know that Jesus is risen. And if that is true, just as prophesied, just as witnessed, that means that you and I have peace with God. That means that you and I can live in that peace, and we can indeed change just like Paul did. He went from persecutor of the church to now proclaiming the church. Deeds of darkness to the light of the gospel, not just living in it, but sharing it. And you and I can too. We can change by the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. We can live a new life. We can obey God's word. We can treasure it and honor it. We can have confidence in it. And as we do, we can share it. As crazy as it is, we know we can share it. More on that next week. It's a crazy truth, this resurrection. It really is. It's way more out there than the sky is pink or 2 plus 2 equals 37. And yet we're not crazy for believing it. It happened, just as prophesied, just as witnessed. Now, brothers and sisters, go live in the confidence that comes with that. Have you gone mad? No, your Savior is risen. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God that is proven by the empty tomb guard your hearts and minds through faith in our risen Savior. Amen. And I'll join together in a song as we praise God for those facts. may be seated. Thank you for your thank offerings as we continue to bring that light of the gospel to everyone around us. You can do so there on the plates in the lobby, as well as online via the giving page. We continue with the prayer of the church, which is a responsive prayer we pray together, beginning on page 12. O Lord God, our strength, our song, and our salvation, you fulfilled your promises by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead.
Thanks be to God. You give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
In your compassion, you sent Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life to rescue the lost. Lift our eyes heavenward to see him who lives, to make intercession for the saints, and grant us confidence in the greatness of his power. Keep before us the vision of your redeemed people, standing before your throne and singing the song of victory.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive wisdom and power and honor and glory and grace.
Make us instruments of your peace as we bring the good news of hope and new life to those around us. Guide us in the use of all that you have entrusted to us, our time, our talents, and our treasures.
Risen Lord, live in us that we may live for you.
Merciful Lord Jesus, grant healing to the sick and strengthen the faith of the suffering and the dying. Assure them of your abiding presence and comfort them with the hope of eternal life. God of all mercy, please hold the glory of our good shepherd before the eyes of Alex Hioko, who's faced with health challenges and is in the hospital right now. Let your power and presence give him and his family strength and remind them of your daily and eternal care. We praise you for the joy of those celebrating birthdays this week. Renew in them the joy of your gospel that they may continue to obey you in their lives. Lord of life, we praise you for your care in the lives of those who have gone to heaven, including the father of Lynn Clark. We ask that you especially make your care and power known now in the lives of his family and his friends, that they may be comforted by the death and sure resurrection of Jesus. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Gracious Father, you have restored to us the joy of your salvation. With happy hearts, we come before you and say,
Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We join together in the next hymn. Please stand. In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us praise the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. You may be seated for
a perfect closing hymn for today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure worshiping with you in this Easter season this morning. A few announcements for you. Bible study today at 9:30 here in the sanctuary. We'll go till about 10:15 or so. Sunday school is still online with the materials and the videos there with NPH linked for you on our website and in the emails that go out each week. Ignite Teen Study is via Zoom at 7 p.m. tonight. If you need that link, contact myself or Mike Roush. Just a reminder of the worship plans as we move forward here. So back to 10:45 for the second service. And what we're going to do, remember, is on the fourth Sunday of each month, do an outdoor worship. Now we're going to do that September through May. So we have April and May yet before we take a break for not killing ourselves in June, July, and August when it's hot out there. So we're going to take a break for that outdoor worship Obviously, 10:45 still indoor during the summer. Monday worship is back on May 3rd. Not tomorrow, but May 3rd. So we're going to have the month of May kind of be a test month, see how things go, if there's anything we need to adjust. So May 3rd, back to Monday worship. Check the calendar for a couple of other things. First of all, NorCal Men's Meeting is happening on April 24th, kind of a men's conference. Please see the weekly news for information and contact info there. Our next Food Truck Friday is April 30th, so mark your calendars. We're getting close on that. We are now going to be sponsored by Sunrise Marketplace, you know, right across the street. They heard about it, and they contacted us, and they want to sponsor it. So it's kind of neat. So if you would like to help, you want to come just have some fun, eat some good food from food trucks, April 30th is the next one. Hopefully we won't have to start the movie at like 9 p.m. with the sun. We'll see how things go. And now we'll watch this month's Wells Connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. 60 years ago, when our synod began work in Africa, our missionaries faced a challenge. It was extremely difficult to build those first relationships with the African people. The cultural differences were large, and the Africans were wary of newcomers. We needed to find a way to show our Christian love and build trust.
Today, the Lutheran churches in Malawi and Zambia are the largest in our fellowship, with more than 50,000 members. But it wasn't always like this. In the early days, it was slow going. But then, God opened doors through the blessing of this, a medical team of Wells members, funded and sent by Wells World Missions, called the Central Africa Medical Mission, which began work here in 1960. When the African people saw that we loved them enough to offer much-needed medical care, hearts began to open to the gospel of Christ.
When they brought in the first medical assistance, all of a sudden everybody was paying attention, and the Lord has blessed it tremendously.
For many decades now, World Missions has sent the Central Africa Medical Mission to work in tandem with our missionaries and the national churches.
Not only are we taking care of 60,000 people, but we are changing lives one person at a time, and it is so awesome to see.
The medical mission has regular clinic days at our churches and other locations, and also operates a mobile clinic that travels to remote villages. Much of the work focuses on mothers and children under age 5, who especially need health care.
We really have an emphasis on primary health care, which is preventive health care, especially for under 5 children, making sure they get their immunizations and their vitamins and checkups. And they know we are there because we are Christians and we want to serve them with the love of Christ.
The Central Africa Medical Mission serves more than 1,000 people each week in their clinics, funded solely through donations from individuals.
So what that means, if you run the math, is that we provide services for around $5 per patient, which is remarkable value.
The medical mission now has 30 workers total, serving in Zambia and Malawi. Over time, more and more Africans have been trained as medical staff.
We don't know where the Lord is going to take us, but we are excited to find out because we know there's so much more work for us to do.
While we don't know our Savior's plans for the future, we do know that for 60 years, He has used this medical mission as a way to build relationships and grow His church in Africa.
The blessing of the Central Africa Medical Mission has led to plans to expand this ministry model to other regions around the world. With American volunteers helping our missionaries by providing much-needed medical care and opportunities to share the good news of Jesus. And during this Easter season, as we celebrate our Savior's victorious resurrection from the dead, On behalf of all of us who work with you and for you at the Synod, may you have a very blessed and joyful Easter.
One more announcement, come to a decision on the call. Brothers and sisters of St. Mark's, it's a humbling experience to deliberate a call to serve our Lord as a pastor in his kingdom. I thank you for your prayers and the input you've given me and my family throughout this process. After careful and prayerful deliberation, I have decided to accept the call to serve as pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Bangor, Wisconsin. I thank the Lord for his guidance throughout these last few weeks, and I know he will richly bless St. Mark's by his grace, as he always does. Please keep my family and me in your prayers as we prepare to serve the Lord in a different area of God's kingdom. We will certainly keep all of our brothers and sisters at St. Mark's in our prayers as the Lord continues to guide and bless you in his gospel ministry in and around St. Mark, or Citrus Heights. To God and to his name be the glory, now and always. In Christ our Savior, who is risen, who will guide everything. You never know if you're going to cry during these moments, but God will continue to bless St. Mark's. Very confident of that. Please, as I said, pray for us as we get ready to move out there. God's blessings to you. Please stick around to greet one another.